work well, and so it throws us off all the time. Throws the choir off too sometimes, and so it kind of, that's what happens. By the way, Judson, this is for you, and from your class. Okay, wanted to make sure I got that to you. Anyway, I know that I know they worked hard on that, so they wanted you to get well. Okay, and. All right, so let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles again to Matthew, okay? And just to kind of help you, we are, and I haven't, we haven't been here. This is continuing the series on Saved, Salty, and Satisfied. And so I want us to look again, all right, at how that he changes from those that are blessed, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. And then he says, blessed are ye, when men shall revile and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And then he says, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, I found a lot of things that we can compare to with salt, all right? And so I'm gonna have Jonathan skip past all of the slides. All right, you can just use that little board that I had up there, and go to we have celestial needs for our spirit. All right, that is the first thing that's on your sheets. Is there anybody that did not get a sheet? Okay, anybody? Okay, Miss Helen didn't. Okay, do you have any? Okay, all right. All right, Ms. Helen, if you could, I'll give you the notes later, okay? Okay, I'll take care of that for you. I'll give you a copy of my own, all right? So that'll be a little extra, all right? So you'll see a little bit more. All right, so, but you can, if you want, you can take notes. I apologize for running out of sheets. Were there any extra ones back there that that we had a while back? I know that I had some back there, but they might have been cast away. All right, so they've been cast away to be trodden underfoot of men. Sorry about that. All right, so anyway, they're not necessary. I will get you those notes, though. So Matthew chapter 5, and all right, ye are the salt of the earth. All right, now, this particular study, all right, and you know, again, I'm not asking Jonathan to go back to the beginning here, but those of you who have been listening, all right, for a while, this particular part of our study on being saved, salty, and satisfied deals with the fact that we are a peculiar savor. The first time that we were here, we learned that we are a preserving sustainer, all right, a preserving sustainer, but a peculiar savor, that's the focus of this message, all right? And it's necessary that you renew on a regular basis, all right, in order to keep that new part of you going on the inside while this outward man is perishing. But we're going to go a little bit deeper today, and I'm going to use some unusual illustrations that I think I'm trusting is going to help you. I think a very young person will be able to understand this. And so I'm trusting, because I want the youngest in here that's able to comprehend. I know that Rachel can't understand yet, but I'm talking about the youngest of the young people that have that comprehension. I want them to be able to understand it. You're never too young to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. And to me, youth is as young as you can get. Learn about the Lord. Josiah was one of the most righteous kings in the Bible, and he began to reign when he was 8 years old. So there's no excuse for a young person to say, well, oh, that's grown-up preaching. I don't understand that. Well, no. We need to have faith as a child, all right? And so here we go. We have celestial needs for our spirit. Now, what I was talking about the last time, all right, is this. The peculiar savor that we are as salt. Whenever you put salt into food, you can always taste the salt. All right? You're never going to confuse salt with anything else. All right? For a while, there were three different tastes. All right? You had bitter, you had sweet, And then there was another one. I can't remember exactly what it was. Sour. But then recently they've added salty in there. And the reason why is because you can't tell the difference. Now, the difference between all those is that salt is salt, sodium chloride. And that's the peculiar taste that you get, all right? So, you know, sour, there's a lot of things that are sour, but only salt is salty. It's different from anything else in the world, all right? It's peculiar, and we are peculiar, and we're noticed. And unfortunately, as I said, and I say unfortunately, but in a revived state, you're not going to have to worry about this, all right? But I'm going to say unfortunately because it is an unfortunate situation to face persecution, but God has given us the grace to be able to endure it, all right? But unfortunately, because our Savior is peculiar, we do face persecution. You know, I was trying to look up some stuff for Joe for his Sunday school class. I looked up Crown College, and one of the first things is some report saying, new apostasy found at Crown College. And I thought to myself, look at that. Another article that's trying to bash Dr. Sexton and his work. You know, there's a great work that's going on there. He doesn't do everything the way that I would do it. And you know what? That's their church, all right? Their church is not New Grace Baptist Church, and things go on differently there. They're going to give an answer to God for whatever it is they do there. We're going to give an answer to God for whatever goes on here. But I believe God is working in that church. I believe that God's doing a mighty thing there. And we have no room, no reason to criticize based on size. You know, I've heard people say, you know, they've said, well, I don't want my church to get big. Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry about it if the church is truly growing with fruit that remains because of a revival state, all right? Nobody's going to have to worry about that. God is going to work all of that out, and everything's going to be perfect, all right? So, that's not anything that you need to worry about. Now, if I'm trying to get the church to grow and it's full of people who really just aren't interested in anything, well, then you need to worry about it. All right? If I'm sitting here trying to doodlebug everybody, you ever heard that phrase, doodlebug, your house is on fire, you know, and they come out of the hole, you know? There's a lot of doodlebugs out there that you got to go and doodlebug in order for them to come to church, all right? And so, you know, if you have a church that's full of doodlebugs, you know, that kind of makes the pastor's job so busy that he doesn't even have a chance to, you know, get into the Word and actually care for the ones who do care about things. You know, I'm sitting here trying to get my crowd to come back to church, you know. I'm not interested in that at all. I like what Lester Roloff said. Somebody came up to him and said, Pastor, I need counseling. And he goes, well, and he knew her very well. He knew that she only showed up Sunday morning. He looked at her and he said, well, I have 5 counseling sessions. I have Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, and then I can counsel you, all right? And she didn't come back for any more counseling. She took the message. Oh, yeah, okay, I see. He wants me to go to church. Hey, that's good counseling, all right? But anyway, we have celestial needs for our spirit. I want us to, I think it's up here. I think I've got it up here. John 8:23. All right. John 8:23. There it is. Notice what it says. Ye are of this world. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Interesting statement. And, of course, in that passage, they're all going, is this not the carpenter's son? This guy, he was born in the world. He's related to them. And, yes, physically, he was born into this world. But he himself, God, robed in human flesh, he is not of this world. See? And so then we find another verse in John 17:14. It says, I have given them thy word. This is Jesus praying. By the way, this is the end of our of that revival passage that I've been constantly saying, and I'm going to say till I'm blue in the face, all right? John 13:14, 15, 16, and 17. This is the final part, all right? It says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath what? Hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, salt has a peculiar taste. You're not going to say, I think that salt sure does taste a little bit like pepper. No. Salt is going to taste like salt. You use salt to season food, and salt is salt no matter what you put into it, no matter what you add to it. And you know what? If you boil it, you cook it, whatever you do, salt is always going to be sodium chloride. It's always going to be salt. We're going to go a little bit more in detail about how that salt can lose its savor later. And boy, I'll tell you what, that hits hard on the revival principles. And it's really good. But we are not of this world, just like Jesus. Now, can anybody tell me, when did that happen? When did we all of a sudden not become part of this world? When we got saved, that's right. Right, when we got born again. And boy, that's an important way of saying it, when we got born again. Because when we got born again, the Bible says our conversation, and if you look at that word, it's citizenship. Our citizenship, in order to become a citizen, all right, you had to be born there, right? That's the easiest way to become a citizen. Otherwise, you have to jump through hoops. Either that, or if you're from Mexico, you can just walk on over, all right? but anyway, as far as becoming an actual citizen of this country, you have to be born here. And so it's the same way with heaven. When you get born again, you become a citizen of heaven, which makes you foreign to the world. See? All right, so they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. All right, now let's go to this next interesting point here, okay? Let's just say that we take a trip to Mars, okay? Now, has anybody been able to establish a hub on Mars? I mean, actually been able to build a building where they're able to do scientific studies on Mars. Has anybody ever been to Mars? No, we haven't been there yet. Why hasn't anybody been to Mars? What's our problem? Well, what were you going to say?
We got to build
the right rocket ship. But once we get there, all right, we got to survive. Mm-hmm. And we got to figure out, this is a long way off. And so if we're going to, I think they just made a movie recently about this guy who gets stuck on Mars. I don't really know much about it. I see it's called Martian, I think. And I thought that's interesting. I kind of looked at what it was about. And this guy gets left behind on Mars. He has to figure out how to survive by himself on Mars while they're trying to figure out how to get back and rescue him. And boy, that sounds really like a thriller, you know. But anyway, but just think about it now, all right? If you go to Mars, all right, the question is, what are things that you need to survive on Mars? Now, before Jonathan starts listing them down, all right, I want to see what you know, all right? What's something you need on Mars? Somebody tell me, yeah? Water. Yes, we need water. Is there any on Mars? No, not that we can drink, all right? And, of course, the evolutionists say there once was water millions and millions of years ago, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there's no water on Mars, okay? And so we need water. What's something else? Oxygen, that's right. We need oxygen, yeah? Food, yes. And here's the thing. If you get a supply of food, all right, to go there, well, man, you're going to run out of it. So there's something else that you need in order to have some decent agriculture. Anybody know what it is? You know, you've been, sunlight, yes, that's good, all right, sunlight, all right, but what about soil? That's right, Mr. Planter, exactly. You need the right kind of dirt in order to plant food, in order to cultivate it, and so I'm sure that they're studying all this stuff out, all right, and but go ahead and list the first one that I've got, oxygen, all right, this is kind of like playing the Family Feud, survey said, all right, oxygen is the first one. All right, and then the next one is, all right, water, okay, food was already said, soil for growing crops, and then building supplies. We got to make sure we have the right building supplies, all right? Those are things that we need. And now here's the question. Where does it all come from? Where do we need to get all this stuff? Yeah, Wilson? Where does all that stuff come from that we bring to Mars? Earth. That's right, our home. All right, in order for us to survive on Mars, we have to get things that are, I think some of you are getting what I'm getting at, don't you? All right, it's good stuff, isn't it? It's exciting. All right, so we need to get things from Earth in order to live on Mars. Now, I'm not, I'm, I'm, y'all stay awake, because if some of you doze off and you come back to in the middle of what I'm talking about, you're going to go home and say, Pastor Mike said we're all Martians and that we live on Mars. Okay? No, just a disclaimer, all right, and it's being recorded, all right? I didn't say we were Martians and that we live on Mars, all right? I'm using this as an illustration. Okay, so I'm going to give a quote from NASA, all right, which means National Aeronautics and Space Administration. And of all the studies that I've done on space, I never knew what NASA meant. I had to look it up, all right, find out what the word was. That's what it is, and it says, in order for humans to survive on Mars, at least in the beginning, necessities must be delivered from Earth. Well, Pastor Mike, this is all interesting, but where are you going with this? I'm going somewhere with this. Some of you have already figured it out, I can tell. That's awesome. James 1:17. All right, look what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there it is. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where's above? Heaven! The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we were born again. And so therefore, in order for us to... I'm going to look at it this way. Our heaven is Earth, all right? And Earth is like Mars. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We really look at this in such a light-mannered way. But we literally, as pilgrims and strangers on this Earth, we live like it's no big deal to take our helmets off and walk around on Mars without our helmets on in our spacesuit, all right? I know that sounds a little bit crazy and everything, but what I'm trying to say is that we really do dabble with this planet, don't we? We dabble with the world a lot. It's something that we don't need to do. We need to try and insulate ourselves with heavenly things as much as we can. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure... This is not in the notes, but the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how you renew the spirit of your mind. Those are things that are in heaven, all right? Now, I'm going to go a little bit further, all right? Ephesians 1:3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly places in Christ. Now, there's an interesting verse. In Christ. Now, one of the things that nobody mentioned, and I didn't really expect it, I didn't think of it in the list until before you all showed up here today. The Lord kind of brought it to my attention, all right? So it's not even in the notes. But notice, spiritual blessings in Christ. I'm going to look at it like this, all right? Abide in Him. Can I just say that He is kind of like our space suit? All right? You need a space suit in order to start building things, right? You need to learn to abide in Christ before you start building churches and start building buildings and things like that that are going to honor Him, all right? It's no good to plant a church without abiding in Christ first. See, Jesus Christ, when He called the disciples, He didn't say, follow Me and you'll build churches and all that stuff. He didn't say any of that. He said, follow Me. That's the first thing. And I will make you fishers of men, all right? He said, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. That's abiding in Him. Now, in Romans chapter 13, it says this, and let's just turn there. In order to get all that provision from above, you have those wonderful blessings. All right, did I say Romans 15? I think I said Romans 13. Okay, Romans 13, and I want us to look at the last verse in the passage, verse 14. Notice what it says. All right, it's not up here, all right? I don't have it up here. But in verse 14 in your text, it says what? But put ye on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh To fulfill the lusts thereof. Well, what's the big deal? Why is it that why should I not make any provision for the flesh to fulfill it and the lusts thereof? All right. Well, the Bible says this. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts. There's that word again. And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do you know what's happening? You're taking off your helmet on a planet that you can't survive without it. You see, we act like, oh, the earth, it's, you know, I'm not affected by this stuff. I can handle this. I'm fine. You know, I can hang out with the wrong type of group. You know what? I will be just fine. You know what? I'll win them to Christ. I'll be the perfect example. I'm not going to be infected by them. It's no worries, all right? Well, I'm going to just kind of talk to you kind of like a farmer does, all right? A farmer will say, you'd better make sure that you wear dirty clothes when you're working in the hog pen because you're going to get dirty. You can't go into a hog pen with all these clean clothes expecting the hog pen to get clean because you're wearing clean stuff. All right? You're going to get dirty. And so it's important that we keep the Lord Jesus Christ on at all times. All right? We don't belong to this world. One day we're not going to have to abide in Him all the time. One day we're going to be like Him. Praise the Lord for that. But for now, in order for us to resist the world, the flesh, the devil, we've got enemies all around us. We need to keep the Lord Jesus Christ on. All right? So, what are some of the things that we have from heaven to help us to survive here? Well, number one, all right, and it's up here. All right, these are parts of the notes here. In order to survive, some things that we have from heaven is the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. Boy, I'll tell you what, the Blessed Comforter. We need Him to work. You know, I'll tell you what, if you understood how the Holy Spirit actually works in our midst, I'll tell you, that's one of the vital signs to a revived church is the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is beginning to work in this church. I am seeing Him direct us and guide us and bring us to places that and allow things to prompt our prayers. He is guiding in the messages. Joe out of the blue says, I want to sing The Man I Used to Be, which is absolutely perfect for what I'm preaching. That's the Holy Spirit's leadership. The Holy Spirit also draws out wickedness that needs to be fixed, all right? And He will do this. You know why? Because He's a person and He's a part of this church. And the ones who let Him into the church, you know what's going to happen? The ones who want to keep Him out, they're not going to be able to resist Him. Because we're saying, we want you in! And so therefore, He's going to, and by the way, that doesn't mean that He's just going to come and give you a whipping, you know, as I've said before. What that means is that He's going to bring it out and He's going to bring it to your attention, and He says to you, all right, this is what it's all about. You know, church discipline, I used to never understand it. You know what, in this church, I've handled it the wrong way. You know, I never even understood what church discipline was all about. But you know what, church discipline is all about this. First of all, going to a brother and saying, you know what, you're not right with God. You did this, and it's not right. It's wrong. And you know what? You need revival. You need to repent. It's a time to be bold. If you know of anybody who's doing something that they ought not to be doing, then you need to point them out. You need to say, hey, what you're doing is wrong, and I know exactly what you're doing. Don't do it. You need to repent. And if they say, I don't even know what you're talking about, and they continue, well, that's when you say, you know what, I tried to do this, and then you bring another person to witness it. And you say, look, we love you. And you know what, you're a part of the body. And you've got to repent, you've got to get these things right. God has a work that He needs to do, and you're hindering it. And that's when you're being a little bit tougher, and that's why you need to have a witness. But then, if they're not going to listen then you take it before the church and you say, this is the problem right here, and we've tried to resolve it, and they're not going to get things straight. And so therefore, we need to do something about this. You know, and then we, you know, as a church body, We say, look, we love you. Would you please get right, or else we're going to have to dismiss you from our company because we are unwilling to deal with sin because we want the Holy Spirit to have liberty in this place. And if you're going to continue in your sin, we're not going to have the liberty of the Holy Spirit, and we are not going to sacrifice the power of the Holy Spirit for your wickedness. And that's when, if that person chooses to say, you know what, I've done nothing wrong, that's when we say, then we're going to make a vote. And it breaks our hearts. But praise the Lord, the Bible says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. That doesn't mean cast them off forever. That means keep loving them. Keep loving them until they get things right and restore them. Because when you do, when it says restore such an one, that's actually referring to a broken bone. I'm talking about membership. I'm talking about if you are joined to the body of Christ. I'm not talking about people who just come to church here. I'm not talking about the people who are undecided and have chosen not to join the church. I'm talking about those who have chosen and have stood before this church and have, before God and witnesses, have said, I am going to join myself to this body. Those are the ones we need to mend. Amen. Restore such an one. I've told you before, I have confessed it to you, that I completely did not understand this concept in the past. I was a dumb young pastor. But I'll tell you what, I understand it now. And there is not a single person that if there's any kind of anger or frustration or bitterness towards them, I'm not going to say a word, because that's the wrong attitude to have. But I will say this, I will not stand for wickedness that's going to hinder what God wants to do with this church. Do you know why? Because I have eternity to answer for it. I'm not going to deal with it. You might deal with it. You might have to deal with your wickedness for all eternity, but I am not. I'm going to wash my hands of it. And this church, this whole church, needs to stand behind that very thing. See what I'm saying? All right, so it's important that we do that, all right? The Holy Spirit, He has His way. He works, all right? God's Word, that's the next thing, all right? God's Word, boy, praise the Lord for that. You know, it is absolutely phenomenal how that the Bible has gotten around the way that it has. Isn't that something? You know, think about it. Think about how this Bible has come together through the ages. I could get into a whole message about how the Bible was written. I'm not going to do that, all right? But I'm telling you right now, it is absolutely remarkable how that this book has survived the ages of time and has been put into our hands today. You know what? There are very few people who don't have a Bible somewhere in their house. Isn't that amazing? God says, I'm going to saturate the world with this. And I'll tell you what, it's a gift. It's a gift. Praise the Lord that we have the Word of God. We have God's power. Hallelujah for God's power. I'll tell you what, boy, Charles Finney had the power of God on his life. And I mean, when he surrendered himself to this is how he worded it in his journal. I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the moment that he did, he went out, and within the very next 24 hours, every person that he ran into got converted because of the power that was on his life. Amazing. Oh, I covet that. I hope you do too. Do you realize that this church, if it was the only church in the world, God has endowed us with enough power to see this whole world saved because of this one little church right here in Tarboro? The only reason why we're not seeing it is because of us. It's because of us. All right, so our brethren, that's the other thing. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise the Lord for the brethren. You know what? I don't know what I'd do without my brothers and sisters in Christ. Can you imagine living this world, living with the filth of sin, and you're the only Christian? Imagine what Jesus Christ had to go through. Even His disciples, before He ascended into heaven, they all had wicked hearts, wicked minds. He had mercy on them, but He was the only one in the world who stood for righteousness. They all failed. They all failed the test at Gethsemane. But boy, I'll tell you what, when Jesus Christ ascended to be on the right hand of the throne of God, He sent His Holy Spirit down. And my goodness, boy, Peter, the one who denied Him three times, stood out in the public place, all right, of the temple, and preached, and 3,000 souls were saved because of the Holy Spirit's work, God's power, and praise the Lord for the brethren. All right, so you know what? 1 John 2 and verse 15 to 17, it's not up here, I don't think, but 1 John 2 verse 15 and 17, all right, it says this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Yes. Now, what is the will of God? Well, you'll find it in Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's it right there. Oh boy, I'll tell you what, your lip needs to reflect your life. You can't just go around and tell people about Jesus Christ. They need to be able to see it for themselves. You know, I'll never understand people who can go around and slit the throat of their church all the time. I don't understand that. And the reason why it's wrong, yes, but to slit the throat of your own church to people? You know what that's saying? That's basically saying, I go there, but I don't associate with them. Tell me how much sense that makes. That's kind of like going around and, you know, I'm married to this person, but boy, I'll tell you what, they are just the most wretched people around, wretched person around. It's a terrible testimony. And you know what? Nobody's going to get saved. I don't care how angry you might be with something. Get it resolved. Get it fixed. God's at work. He wants to work. All right, so that's what it is. All right, what is the will of God? I think it's on there. What is the will of God? Be not conformed to this world. All right, I think that's, yeah, there we go. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. He wants you to be peculiar. You can be a Christian and not have the savor of the Lord with you. You know why? Because the Bible does not say, yea, all that will be Christians shall suffer persecution. That's right. All that will live godly will suffer persecution. That excludes some Christians. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you have a selfish reason for finding certain friends, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not doing yourself any favors, and you're definitely not doing anything for your friends. If your friends are not seeing the life of Jesus Christ flowing through you, all you're doing is you're saying, I'm religious, but it's not real. And they're saying, what in the world do I want? And then you go and try to invite them to church, but you talk like them, you act like them, you listen to the same type of music that they listen to, and then you say, hey, you need to come over to my church, and they go, why? I don't see why. I mean, it doesn't seem like you're any different than I am. No, be different. Make a difference. Of some have compassion making a difference. So there's one thing that makes, wait a minute, number three. We are a channel for needy sinners because of this. We have all the provision we need. Now, I'm going to get a little bit stranger on you, okay? All right, there are inhabitants on that planet Mars, all right? Now, well, that's as far as I'm going to go, though, okay? Because I'm not trying to say that we're out to convert aliens into, you know, into human beings or anything. But what I'm trying to say is this, is that we are in this world, in this planet, all right, in order to show these people life. And it's important that you, all right, you want to talk about something that would be really strange sounding, is that the people that live on Mars used to live on Earth, okay? But then when sin came in, or I should say their ancestors, all right, Adam, all right, and we're there to rescue them and to show them a better way and say, now look, When you get converted, when you get changed, you're not going to be able to survive well on this planet without putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Putting on your helmet, putting on your space suit, all right? All these things. I know that sounds a little bit funny, but what I'm trying to say is that for a short while, you're going to have to suffer a little bit. You're going to have to remember to put on the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. You're going to have to remember to drink water. You're going to have to remember to depend on the power of God. You're going to have to remember these things. And yes, that space suit is going to get a little bit irritating sometimes, but I'm telling you right now, the moment that you take it off is the very moment that you're going to fall. See, if you look at pictures of Mars, I'll tell you what, it almost looks like you could just walk out there and be fine. I mean, it looks like they've got a sky sort of like ours. You know, it's a little bit red looking. I've seen pictures, all right? It could be tempting to say, hey, I don't need this spacesuit. Take it off. You probably die immediately because it's freezing up there, all right? So, but we need to be a channel for needy sinners, all right? There is one thing that makes salt stand out from anything else, and that's taste. Okay? If you don't have a good savor, you're going to lose that taste. And this is going to be our next study the next time that we get together, okay? But taste. Psalm 34:8 says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Look at Acts 10. I don't know if it's, you got those verses on your, okay, I didn't think so. Look at Acts chapter 10, okay? I think I've got them in y'all's notes. But Acts chapter 10, I didn't know if the passage was actually on the PowerPoint or not, I couldn't remember. But Acts chapter 10, it's backwards, all right? It says Acts 16 first, but we're going to look at Acts 10. But I want to show you something, okay? Acts chapter 10 and verse 21, all right? Look what it says. "Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." All right, now, let me see here. Okay. Look at the beginning of Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway." Now, this is where a lot of people get mixed up. They think that they had some sort of a charismatic event take place in Cornelius' home. I want you to remember something. Cornelius was not saved until Peter came and gave him the gospel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an example of a man, all right, and I'm going to bring back Charles G. Finney again. Charles Finney was, he was an unsaved man, but people were church-going people back in the time that he was alive. He was a very smart man, and he was training to be a lawyer, all right? Now, back in those days, I don't know if they still do it now, but if you were going to be a lawyer, you were a studier of God's Word. I'll tell you what, it was an unusual situation. He was a musical man. He played instruments, and when he was at the church, they found his musical talent to be helpful, and so they made him the song leader. But the funny thing is that the pastor would always tell the young people, "You stay away from Charles Finney now. Charles Finney's got some warped ideas about Christianity. Don't listen to him. He's evil. He's got wicked ideas." And here he is, the song leader. I'll tell you, some of these churches back then were really unusual. But anyway, he's there, and as he's studying the Bible because he's preparing for law school, suddenly he begins to study passages of Scripture that convict his soul. And he begins to see his need for something, because he sees that sin is going to just curse him and take him to hell. And I could tell the story and make it long, and I'm not going to do that, all right? But I'm just going to say this. The moment he began to find those things is the moment he began to go out into the woods every day, and he began to pray and plead with God, and he was under such conviction. He said in his journal, he said, "I am going to be converted or I'm going to die in the attempt." That's what Charles Finney said. I don't know if I'd say it like that, all right? But this guy was so under conviction, he said, "I don't know how to be converted, but all I know is I'll die in the attempt doing so." And he prayed and just asked God for mercy and said, "Lord, would you show me?" And he finally came to an understanding that he had to cast his soul on Jesus Christ and depend on him completely for salvation by his grace. Now, Do you see the comparison between Charles Finney and this guy right here? He was a man who prayed. See, Cornelius, no doubt, got a hold. He was a good man. The Jews loved him. They said he was devout. And so no doubt he had heard from Scripture. No doubt he heard the book of Isaiah. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Cornelius said, oh God, God, I don't understand this, but all I'm saying is that there's something different about the Jews' religion, and you know, they're not quite getting there yet. Something's not right about this. Lord, can you please just send somebody to show me? You know, you would think that the angel would say, sure, I'll show you the gospel. You know what? That angel, he came to Peter, didn't he? He said, I'm not going to give the gospel as well as you will. You need to go visit a man named Cornelius. Or actually, He told Cornelius, go see a man named Peter. He's staying with a guy named Simon. He's a tanner. I want you to go over there and see him. The Lord told Peter, hey, there's a guy named Cornelius coming to visit you. And you need to be ready to give him the gospel. And so the Holy Spirit brings them together. And he preaches to him the gospel. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on his whole house. And what that means is that they all were gloriously saved. Do you know what that means? Peter was a channel for needy sinners. And then finally, and I'm going to be done with this one, okay? In Acts chapter 16, I want you to turn there. Acts chapter 16. Look at this story. And when her, all right, Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. And when her masters, all right, this is a girl that was filled with an unclean demon, all right? She was prophesying. And the Bible says, and when her masters saw, all right, this is Paul. Paul was grieved. She kept following him. And finally he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I charge you, demon, come out of her. And that demon came out of her just like that. And you know what? That girl wasn't able to prophesy anymore. She was giving her masters a lot of money. I mean, she was able to tell fortunes to people. People would say, well, am I going to be rich within the next year? And she'd say, oh, yes. Yes, you are. And she'd give all sorts of great reasons to prove that they were going to be rich. And I mean to tell you, these guys were getting money off of her. But when that spirit left her, look what it says, verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. I'm going to tell you something right now. The people that are going to hate you the most as Christians, especially if revival breaks out throughout this country, is the media. They are going to do everything they can to destroy Christianity if they find that out. Because their gains, their profits, all of these movies that saturate and fulfill the lusts that we have in ourselves, all right? All of these wicked programs that are put on TV, they're going to lose their fortunes because people are going to get saved and they're going to say, I find no edification in Hollywood. It'll become Hollywood everywhere. Not just with some of these loud preachers. Everyone will look at it and they'll say, that's straight from hell. It's not helping me. I'm not going to do it. And Hollywood's going to go down. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome? I'd love to see that. But you know what? Their gains were gone, and they will, I'm telling you right now, we're going to face some persecution if we experience revival and people start getting saved, because the world is making money off of sin. And when sin is suddenly gone, they're going to see that their profits are gone too. And they're not going to like us very much at all. All right? By the way, when all of these great revivals were taking place, have you ever heard of the Jerks? I know some jerks. All right. Now I'm talking about during the Great Awakening, during the Welsh Revival, there would be these people who would suddenly just let out a loud scream in the middle of the message and pass out. All right? You know what I'm talking about? And then there's certain people who would go, you know, like that. They'd stand up and they'd wag their head, you know, and stuff like that. And you know what? There were some guys who encouraged it. All right? One was a guy by the name of Davenport. All right. When he would be preaching, somebody would jump up and scream and pass out, and he'd say, did you hear that lady over there? That's the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jonathan Wesley didn't do that. He would try to keep that down. He would ignore it. All right. But you see, that was very few and seldom, far between, But the media was there, and when they were making reports, do you think that they reported about how many people were saved or the girl who stood up and screamed and passed out? And so there are historians who say that those reports were greatly exaggerated. And so these people in some of these churches today, these charismatic churches, are trying to imitate that when really it's faulty. And did you know that they said that most of those people with the jerks, those people who had those sudden experiences where they'd scream out and pass out, did you know that a lot of those people were mentally unstable? That's what the Bible says. Or, I mean, that's not the Bible. That's what the reports say. That's what the historians say. I'm telling you, history is greatly exaggerated by a lot of people. But God wants to work. And so their gains were gone. And so what does it say? All right, I'm almost done here. And all right, verse 20, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither do observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, that means they whipped them and put many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Man, yeah, I can just see it right now. After they were beaten, they've been put in prison. All of a sudden, Silas goes, "Hey, are you awake?" Paul goes, "Are you kidding?" He says, "You know, I can't sleep either." He says, "Why don't we just praise the Lord? Why don't we praise the Lord for what he's doing right now? I mean, he said we'd be persecuted if we were a revived church." And so they started praising God. And as they praised the Lord, that jailer was listening. And he goes, I've never seen anything like this before. And they saw his attitude. He was tasting of them. He was tasting of their testimony. Their salt was affecting them. They were a channel for the needy sinner. And all of a sudden that earthquake came and the doors were open and all the prisoners were able to escape. And that said, I'm never going to be able to live through the night. And so he gets ready to take that sword and plunge it into his chest. And Paul comes up and he says, "Do thyself no harm. We are what? All here." You know what that tells me? I got a feeling every prisoner in that place got saved. It wasn't just Paul and Silas. We are all here. And he fell on his knees near death with that sword in his chest. And he goes, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul says this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." They were a channel for a needy sinner. And that's what we need to be. We need to make sure that we're salt for this dying, thirsty world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time we can be together. Lord, thank you, Father, for working in the midst of this message. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord. Help us as we prepare for Ready America. Help us, Father, to remember the things that are above. I'm not so concerned about what happens at Ready America as I am in the hearts of all of those that are going to have a part in Ready America. I'm talking about all of our members, all those who are joined to this church. Oh, Father, it's their responsibility to make sure things are right with you. And Lord, it doesn't matter if they tell me everything's right. It matters if they tell you. Lord, I'm trusting that all of us will repent and turn from those things that we can't handle ourselves. Lord, may we turn to you and look to you and recognize that only you can save us from those things. Help us, Father. It's in the name of Jesus we ask all these things. Amen.